All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You'll note that we're kind of getting close to the end of this book. So if you have some suggestions, you might want to be thinking about those. I've been really busy, and I haven't really thought about the next thing we might want to start doing. So I would certainly welcome some suggestions if you have some. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll go back and read verse 10 and then down and kind of get us remembering. Paul had talked, of course, about his thorn in the flesh and why it was so important in his life to have it. Whatever it was, it helped him rely more on God. And that's why he thought it was a positive thing. That's why he looked at it as a positive thing. Because it was helping him in his faith. So, verse 10 says, "Therefore I take pleasure." Not that he went out trying to find them, but he knew they were important. "In infirmities, reproaches, needs, persecutions, distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong." So those type of things, those sufferings and weaknesses and trials and all of those things helped him be strong, because it was in those times when he, of course, relied on God more. So in that sense, he was made strong. So, you know, while no one wants those things, I mean, no one wants suffering or persecutions in that sense, Paul understood that they had a role to play in his growth. And I think that's a great lesson for all of us, because sufferings do have a place in a Christian's life. They do. They have a place. And we can allow them to make us better people. And that's what Paul was doing. He was allowing all of these things, and we, you know, we don't even have a tiny part of what he went through. Yes? That's right. There was a specific purpose. That's right. Very true.
You learn to think and you learn to improvise. You have to think your way around your infirmities or
okay.
Out of them. And then you learn to improvise to make up for the difference. God is not will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which
right. That's right. And Paul certainly had a lot of opportunities to learn those things. Again, a lot more probably than we do. So those things, again, were things he suffered and dealt with and went through because he was a faithful Christian, because he was doing God's will. And so he says in verse 11, "I've become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me." Remember, you know, he's had to, in this letter, give evidence of the fact that he was a real apostle, because there were false apostles in the church at Corinth that was trying to destroy his influence. And so he's had to, in this letter, give evidence that he was a real apostle. Well, one of those evidences was the fact that he had all these persecutions and trials and sufferings and all of these things. That was one of the evidences. And so he says, "I become a fool in boasting. I didn't want to mention any of this stuff," he says, "but I had to. As he says, you've compelled me. You've forced my hand. And so now I've had to do all of this, not in a prideful way, but he knew if he didn't do it, that his influence would be hurt." Yes.
You say he didn't say, "These other people haven't suffered these things."
That's right.
So if they're genuine, how could they have suffered them?
Yeah.
I
have. That's right. And so it was another one of those marks that he was real. He was genuine. So he said, "For I ought to have been commended by you." See, he said, there really shouldn't be a reason I've had to do this. I should have been commended by you, considering all all that I had done in your midst and done for you, there was no reason I should have had to do this. You should have commended me. For in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing. He was just as much a real apostle as John was or Peter was or any of the others. He was just as much on that level as anybody else. But he still says, you know, I'm nothing. You know, that he's not saying it in a prideful way. That's not the purpose. That's not why he's doing it. They have forced him to do it, even though he didn't want to. So here he says, truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you. See, there was no reason why they should have ever questioned his apostleship. See, they were listening to these false apostles and these deceitful apostles. They were being led astray by them, and that's what forced Paul to do this. So he says, these signs were done among you with all perseverance. And he talks about in signs and wonders and mighty deeds in all of these different ways. He says, these things should have validated what I was saying. You shouldn't have asked for anything more. There wasn't any need to. I did everything that an apostle should do. And for some reason, you were still listening to these deceitful workers and false apostles. And that general idea, principle, is still with us today. People will still listen to certain ones that there is no reason why they should be listening to them. Why in the world are you listening to this guy? He's not real. He's not teaching the truth. Why are you doing that? Yeah. Okay, that's a good example. And that's been going on, and I guess that's kind of what he's saying. That's been going on, you know, since the church was started. People listening to the wrong ones. They might be, you know, Paul wasn't, as he mentioned, somewhat outwardly that would draw a lot of people to him. You know, he wasn't handsome, didn't have a great speech, wasn't a great orator or anything. But everything he said was inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's why they should have been listening to him. And that's why we should listen to people today. It's because they're speaking the truth. They're speaking God's word. Not because of what they look like. Not because of what they sound like. Not because they're a dynamic speaker or anything else. None of those things should affect what we listen to. We should listen to somebody strictly like Paul is saying because he's speaking God's word. And that's what it should be. And so we shouldn't be attracted in that sense to the personality. Yes?
With us having all this to look at, we can look and compare, even if he hadn't been an apostle, everything he taught would be exactly
that's right.
The same thing that Peter taught on the day of Pentecost.
That's right.
We can look at those sides of it, but even though Peter took the first message to the heathens, the Gentiles, then Paul, I mean, in all his work, that's where he's gone. He's gone to all the rest of the world where they primarily stayed in Jerusalem and worked there. And so that's why all these things are recorded on Paul, because they've shown that he was always the same message everywhere he went. He didn't deviate. He didn't do anything else.
Yeah.
And it was still the same one that was taught on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah. And he even mentions that more than once in his letters. You know, what I've said to the others. You know, I don't say something different to you. It's the same message. It's the same gospel. It's the same truth. So, you know, he didn't change that wherever he went. He kept saying the same thing. And so he's telling them there isn't any need really for this letter. It's kind of what he's saying. There wasn't any reason that 2 Corinthians should have been given. He says you should have known already that what I was saying in the first letters were, you know, those things were the truth. They came from God. I shouldn't have had to defend my apostleship. But since I had to, then I will. And that's pretty much most of what this second letter is about, him having to do that. So he says, for what is it in which you were inferior to other churches? Except that I myself was not burdensome to you. Forgive me this wrong. Okay? Little sarcasm gets into Paul's message there, which means it's okay to be sarcastic. Whew, man, I'm lucky there. It's a good thing. He says, forgive me for not being a burden to you. He says, forgive me for that. And of course, he's being facetious, but that's what he's saying. He says, are you in any way behind any of the other congregations or churches? No, you're not. Yes?
And how many times, even churches, they pay a high price speaker to come in and do things where some good brother over here somewhere could come and do the very same message for nothing, and yet they think they're getting more because they're paying more.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's kind of, our society does that in general. You know, it really does. And I think the church is kind of drawn or taken that in to some extent as well. And I think that's where we're letting our culture and society and the world affect how we do things. And it's not biblical. You know, it's what the world does. Yes. That can be a real stumbling block. It very, very much can be. And that's why you have to be so careful about that. You really do. You have to be careful about that. And I think a lot of what Paul is saying here is very relevant to the church today. Even though it's almost 2,000 years later, people haven't changed, and the gospel hasn't changed, and so the same message they need to hear, we need to hear. And it's very unfortunate. And you probably know people, I know people who, in the church, they're allowing that to direct and control their behavior. And that's what they're doing. They're allowing that type of worldliness, which is what it is. You know, we do want something very entertaining. We want something very nice. We want something very fancy. We want a lot of people. We want a lot of this, and we want a lot of that, and we want somebody that's well known in the community, and we want people who are very high up in the community, and that's what draws them. But the Bible says there's only one thing supposed to draw you, and that's the message. And when you're drawn to something other than the message, then you're drawn to something that's not real. And as a result, just like was happening at Corinth, they were following and listening to the wrong people. Yes.
Yeah. Now, I'm not just here, but yeah. Other places.
Yes.
Too.
Very, very true.
The preacher's not there. We're not going
to
be there.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Yeah. I didn't put that with that, but that's an excellent illustration. And that's putting too much on the preacher, following the preacher. And it can be, like I said a while ago, it can be a big stumbling block in a lot of ways, not just that way. Paul didn't want anybody to follow him because of who he was. He wanted people to listen to what he was saying. That was what was important to Paul. Paul wasn't concerned that, he had baptized, right, a lot of people or done all that. That's what he was concerned about, was going and strengthening churches and people listening to the gospel and following the gospel and becoming stronger in the faith. Those were the things that concerned him. And then when he would find that some brother or sister had left the faith or was causing trouble, those things really bothered him. He wasn't concerned whether people were following him. He didn't want anybody to follow him, but he wanted people to follow Christ, and the only way they could do that was by following Christ's message. And that was his main point all the time, was the message. Allowing the message to change people, not all these other things. Because when it comes down to it, if you're not really following the message, then at some point you're going to probably fall away because you're not following the right thing. Yes?
We discussed this in class before. When Christ showed the apostles, he didn't choose from the allegiance of some.
Oh, very different.
People and all this. He chose common people.
Very common. About as common as you could find. Yep, from different types of walks of life. And a lot of them were plain old fishermen, and that was a basic type of work, hard work then, all right? I doubt if there were too many fish finders worked really well back then, but so it was very hard physical work, and those are the type of people he chose. So again, even though this letter, almost 2,000 years ago, I mean, it just speaks to us loud and clear about, what we should be doing and what we should be listening to and who or what we should be following. Paul really shows in this letter and tries to get people to understand about sincerity and motives and attitudes and being careful about who you listen to. Just because John Smith over here may have a big following and may be really easy to listen to and has great stories and blah, 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 he can lead you down the wrong path. Yes?
I've been observing in about 60 years now that an expert is a highly educated, overpaid person, a whale somewhere else, who comes in and gives you a series of lessons on what the social agenda is over where he came from and how it applies to your needs in that place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That is so true. Paul was not a good presenter. He would not have been hired by too many places to present the gospel. Didn't look good, neither would Christ. He wasn't very dynamic or good looking or anything else outwardly, so that, he wouldn't have been hired either. That's right.
He would desire him.
Yeah.
I think Christ could easily disappear in crowds three or four.
Yeah. Yeah. A very ordinary, as far as just, outwardly, very ordinary. And people even followed him for the wrong reason.
Food.
Yeah. They wanted the outward. They wanted to be entertained. They wanted to be fed physically. And when he stopped feeding them physically, what'd they do? A whole bunch of them left. And remember what Christ said after so many of them left? He said, are you going to leave too? Talking to the apostles. And Peter said, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. So where would we go? See, those people was just concerned about physical food. And that was it. When it was gone, they left. And that was because they were attracted to the wrong thing. They were attracted to what they could get from Jesus physically. They weren't there for the message. And so when the physical part left, they were gone. And unfortunately, they left the good stuff. They left the good stuff. So he goes on and Paul says, now for the third time, I'm ready to come to you. Paul spent a lot of time with these people in Corinth. And I will not be burdensome to you. He had already mentioned that once. For I do not seek yours, but you. He wasn't wanting anything from them. He wanted them. And what a huge difference that is. Have you ever been around somebody that you just felt like they were wanting something from you? Well, that's what Paul says. I don't want anything from you. I want you. I want your spirit. I want your will. But for the right reasons. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And that's how Paul fell toward these Christians in Corinth. He says, I feel for you, just like a parent does for children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Just like a parent would for a son or daughter. It says, I will sacrifice so that you'll get what you need. Not physical stuff. He says, that's not what the people in Corinth needed. It was physical stuff. They probably had everything they needed physically. But they needed so much spiritually. And he says, that's what I'm going to give you. And that's what I want to leave you with. So I want to leave you with the gospel. I want to leave you with faith. I want to leave you with this message about Christ and about what he's done for you. That's what I want to leave you with. Because that's what parents need to leave children with. Whether they leave them with much physically or not doesn't matter. But what have you left them physically? You know, if you help your kids to grow up and have a great career and a great job, but at the same time they have no faith, then you've obviously done something very wrong. If that's what you've taught them. Now that's a big difference. If you've taught them differently, if you've taught them that material things aren't important, if you've taught them the spiritual things, and they certainly have their choice about making their own lifestyles. But if you've led them to believe that, you know, having a career is what it's all about, and having all of these things in a worldly sense, if you've taught them that's what's important, then that's probably what they're going to end up doing. I hope both of my kids have good jobs someday, but that's not the most important thing I pray for. And neither should you. You know, if they, you know, barely get by in life physically, so be it. As long as they're faithful. Now, that doesn't mean they'll remain faithful or be faithful their whole lives. But you need to teach them that that's what's important. And that having all this other stuff is just kind of extraneous. That's not what life is about. And our society, of course, certainly flips that around and says just the opposite. So Paul says, I'll gladly spend for you and be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I'm loved. See how Paul felt? The more that I feel that I teach you to do what's right and tell you about God and about what he's done, the more I do like that, it seems like the less I'm loved. And you've probably felt the same way. Especially when you've tried to, maybe you've known somebody, whether it's a family member, a friend, or somebody you work with that has left the faith and left the church, and you've tried and tried and tried and get them to come back, and that's how you end up feeling sometimes. Yes?
Well, something else too. I've always heard that it's the job of the church to comfort the afflicted and the afflicted comfort. And it's... Anytime you tell somebody the truth, if you tell them something they don't want to hear, even if it's true,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be associated with places.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's the deal.
Yeah. That's a good point.
It's just the nature of human beings, partly and partly because of the teachings of modern society, that if you're a good steward in the word or in material goods, you're going to be suspect.
Yeah. Yeah.
You really don't quite trust you.
Yeah.
What's your motive?
Yeah, that's right. That's true. It's unfortunate that people don't see how relevant, you know, studying God's Word is. Because look at the things we've just touched on this morning in, you know, half a dozen verses or whatever. It tells us, it reaches to us and teaches us, yes.
Whatever somewhere we kept your bed going, it made me kept thinking about Paul and Silas on the way to Berea, what they're in Acts 17:11. And they talk about these are more noble minded than those of Thessalonica. They received the word with great eagerness, examining the scripture today to see whether the things were true. And then basically that's the same message he just gave them here. Examine what I've done and to see if these things are true. Don't go for what somebody else is saying. And as it's been pointed out, in society today, it's more of what somebody else says than what the Word says.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very true. I don't see that changing anytime soon, but that is true. But we still have that responsibility. You know, I can't blame so-and-so or whatever, for my beliefs. I'm responsible for my beliefs, and you're responsible for yours. And if I'm teaching something that's wrong, I'm responsible for that. But if you believe it, you're responsible for believing it, because you have the final, ultimate guide. And you have it in its complete form, and it's very available and very easy to look at. So if you end up believing something because I taught it and it was wrong, well, I'm certainly responsible for my part, but you're responsible for believing it. And if you believe something that's not true simply because I said it, then you're responsible for that. You know, everybody's responsible for their own beliefs. And so both of us would end up being responsible. So we have quite a duty to know what God's Word teaches. And it's on, you might say it's on our shoulders.
5 minutes after we draw our last breath, I won't do the finger pointing, except
yep.
yourself.
Yep, that's right. There's no, well, they did this, he said that, da-da-da, nothing. You know, it's all on you. It's all on you, and that's why it's so very, very important that we, like C.L. mentioned, check the Scriptures to see if those things are so. Well, thank you very much for all your comments this morning.